Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We hope that this is also true in our lives, that we have not only sung it, but that we really experience it, that the Lord, His Word, His grace, and all that He has already done and is doing right now, that it becomes greater to us every day, more precious, clearer. You understand what we mean? The last meetings were attended by over 3,000 people in Nairobi, and we hope that God will continue to do great things. There may be some who are satisfied if two or three are gathered, and there is nothing wrong with that. But in the same Bible, where it is written, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There it is also written that 3,000 believed in one day. In the same Bible, it is written that 5,000 were added, and that great multitudes followed the Lord. One must always read the Bible in its entirety. One must read it well and look at it from all sides. We make no distinction here, but we rejoice about all who have a draw to the truth, who have a connection to the truth, who have a hunger for the truth, who have a real desire within them to hear and experience nothing but the pure truth. Then, of course, we also remember all those who could be here and are not here. This is also very much upon our hearts. We are people with a shepherd's heart. We can't help that. And we wish that all those who do not come would understand, if they would just read John 10, then they would have to understand that our Lord said, I am come that the sheep may have life and have it more abundantly. But the enemy comes to do what? To do what? To destroy, to devour, to cause all kinds of havoc. If all the children of God would read the Bible properly, and it could be transfigured to them by the Spirit of God, then they could also discern and know who has done what and in whose responsibility anything is. Whenever the Lord does something, then there is no tension. Then tensions are relieved. Then there is no curse. Then there is blessing. Then there is no misunderstanding. But there is only understanding. Do you believe me? 100%. But where the enemy interferes, there are all kinds of things. And it ends up in hatred and in quarreling, in discord, in factions, and in all kinds of things. But where the Lord is, there it is good to be. And I want to be where the Lord is. And what did Brother Branham once say? That people are comfortable to be with a true child of God because of the wonderful atmosphere that emanates from us. We don't have tensions within us, and we don't bring them elsewhere. We have got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as I can remember, I have not brought any tension or unhappiness into any house to this day. On the contrary, the Lord has said, I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. What others have done, that is their business. I will persist to the end and ask God for grace to be a blessing to others. If I offend somewhere by preaching the word, then it's not my fault. Then you have to deal with God. Ask Him why it is like this or like that. but not with the one who proclaims the word. We only carry it. We only proclaim it. Everything else is left to God. May He bless us and be with us all, also this morning. How grateful we are for the revealed word. When I am sometimes led by the Spirit into the depths of the word, then it flows through me from head to toe. And when we say here, from time to time, that there was no time like this on earth, then we know what we are talking about. A time of total revelation of all that what was hidden. A time, as Brother Branham so beautifully put it, when all the loose ends that were left are tied up, everything that was not possible in the past has become possible today. And in the past, there lived great men of God with whom we absolutely cannot compare. But the time was not here yet. Now there are little men of God living. But the great God considered it to be right to reveal to us His eternal plan of salvation. And if anyone is still waiting for some great prophet, or as the thunders are now and then interpreted, that seven specialists within the message will travel and roam the whole world and haunt everywhere, we have no part in such a thing. We do not wait for seven special messengers. There were only seven messengers, and they were all in the right hand of the risen Lord, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. There is no other promise in the scriptures of seven messengers to go about once more. And for me, this has not only gone into my soul, but into my flesh and blood. For me, there's only a basis for faith where I can lay my hand on a promise in the Word of God. If I cannot do that, then the faith that I pretend to have has no anchor to be fixed. Where should it be fixed? In the wind? Certainly not. It needs the point. It must be able to rest. And it only rests when it rests in God. And if he rests in God, he rests in his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God remains forever. Let no one be angry with us for this. We are, after all, born of the word seed, the same word that became flesh, the same spirit, the same nature, the same essence. Everything, as the firstborn had it, so have all the firstborn. As the Son of God had it, so have all the sons and daughters of God. And we shall witness it in the consummation, that also this earthly tabernacle shall be put off, and we shall be like Him, the risen one. For we shall see Him as He is. Praise be to His glorious name. How we long to cast off this miserable tabernacle and be with the Lord. But we have to wait for it until it is so far. I think of last night and then wonder to what extent everyone can follow the expositions or even realize the importance of these things, because it has not just been written or preached. It is indeed important that we recognize the fulfillment of the word of prophecy in its entirety. Also the Lord, He announced at that time, and also already in the word of prophecy, certain circumstances that were purely political in nature. He said, for instance, when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about, then let him that is on the field, return no more home. He gave certain hints, and people had to pay attention to that. And then, when you read in the historian book of Josephus, that none of those who believed in this man from Galilee were in Jerusalem at that time when it was destroyed. Why? They knew. The Lord has said it. The armies come. They surround the city. And they were all gone. They were all gone. And the blood was flowing on the streets. The people of God have the task, especially in a prophetic age, to watch Bible prophecy and to put it upon the lampstand. When it is written in the book of Revelation that the time will come when it will no longer be possible to sell and buy, and when the connections will be shown and given, then it is our task to also put this point upon the lampstand and to say, here is the formation of history, and it is taking more and more shape until finally everything will be in the hands of the one who exalts himself above everything what is called God or what is worshipped. And he will then also hold the reins in his hand. I would like to read to it the well-known word from Revelation 13. I'm doing it specifically so that no one is here and has to wonder why we even bring up such things or talk about them. In Revelation 13, it says in verse 8 of the Antichrist, Revelation 13, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. I could make a comment here. Have you been reading along? Have you been listening? It doesn't just say, like in Revelation 20. I'll read you Revelation 20 quickly. And then I will ask if you noticed the difference in the text. Revelation 20, here I read verse 14. Maybe verse 15 will do. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Here it doesn't say anything about the book of life of the Lamb that was slain. It only says about the book of life. And the book of life concerns the final judgment. And all those who have received eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. But here, in Revelation, here we read, now I mean chapter 13, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, all whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. God's plan of salvation with Christ is an eternal plan of salvation. And before the foundation of the world, he was chosen to be the Lamb of God. And we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And therefore our names were written in the Lamb's book of life, slain before the foundation of the world. Not yesterday at the revival or 2 years ago, but before the foundation of the world. But that is not formulated in this way of them in Revelation 20. Do you see the difference there? There is a calling and there is an election. There is a first resurrection and there is a second resurrection. And so, may God always help us that we really place these things correctly. I also read, in view of last night, from Revelation 13, verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark namely the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Just imagine, that speaks of the beast, the mark of the beast. And suddenly, he that has understanding, let him count the number. And then suddenly, it's no longer the number of a beast, but the number of a man. Oh, I could rejoice. I could jubilate when I read the Holy Scriptures under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Then there is not one verse in which not revelation shines forth and the light shines. And we are living in the time when all these things are taking shape and we are seeing it. I want to read it to you from the Seals book, from the mouth of Brother Branham, page 54. He says here, have you heard the news from Washington? We are totally bankrupt. What is the cause? All the gold is hoarded, and the Jews own the bonds. We know who owns the big department stores and so forth. Then he comes to Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's nicely placed. This is where it belongs, because this is how it is. And then, watch. Oh, what a shrewd thing he is. Now we got our picture. And know, listen to this formulation, and know that he is Rome. Those who are good in grammar would have to say that it is Rome. But that he, we know what is meant. We know that he is the White Rider. We know that he first came forth as a doctrine. Then it changed. Pagan Rome became Papal Rome and was crowned. And then he comes here and speaks about the end time and actually highlights what is going to happen. We are still allowed to say what we say, but it could be that the law is already in the drawer. Whoever one day says something against churches or their top leader will be prosecuted. Today we are still allowed to say it. It says here, and the Pope makes this covenant with the Jews, and in the middle he breaks his covenant. As soon as he has achieved the thing and secured the money of the Jews. I want to make a comment here. When Brother Branham speaks of the Jews here in this context, then he is not speaking of the Jews who dwell in Israel. Then he is talking about the Jews in the United States. Then he speaks about the Wall Street. Then he is talking about New York, namely where the world asset is in the hands of the Jews. We must also distinguish this very clearly. The poor, oppressed Jews in Israel, who have hardly any chance of survival unless God helps them, they are themselves at the end of their skills and their money. But listen to what is written here. During that time, these two prophets will appear on the scene and call out the 104,000. What will happen then? Then the mark of the beast will set in, cause he holds all the commerce, trade, and everything of the world. Now, when the mark of the beast comes into effect, no man will be able to buy or sell except those who have received the mark of the beast. We talked about this yesterday without going into these details. Everything is shaping up. The ancient Roman Empire has been revived, and anyone who reads the prophet Daniel and Revelation must see it. There were only four beasts, and the fourth was the last, and was the Roman Empire, and we are not interested in any other empire in Bible prophecy. If somebody says, what about China? Let China be where China is. Here it is about this area. It is about a geographical location. And then, when it is still written in Revelation 17, the seven heads are the seven mountains where the woman is enthroned. Yes, who then should close his eyes when God has opened them and anointed them for us to see and hear what is to be seen and heard? Whoever remains blind today, he really either deserves it or has only himself to blame. This is the time of full revelation of all things that could never been seen before, but today, because the time of fulfillment is here, therefore we can see it by His grace. Some things could be read here. Remember, this rider is none other than the Superman of Satan, and so forth. Yes. If you were to preach that somewhere, in a campaign or on the radio, that would be the last sermon that could be preached. God knows all things. One thing I know is that if we, who we have had the truth revealed, don't preach it, others won't. And most of them would be afraid for their jobs, because they might not be able to do any other work than preaching a sermon on Sunday morning and then resting for the week. The time has come to preach the pure truth in a balanced way to the people of God, and not to slip into some speciality. In the proclamation, there must be salvation and healing, instruction and prophecy. It must be the gospel of Jesus Christ. It must be a balanced proclamation from which everyone can take something home. And I believe that it is so, that all who come with a willing spirit, with an open heart, they take something with them. Brother Rus read a wonderful word, and I want to refer to it very briefly. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I want to read you a word from Acts, chapter 26, Acts 26, Acts 26, from verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people, with this Israel was meant, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In the prophet Isaiah, the prophecy is written on our Lord, who has come into the world as a light. You are welcome to read it with me. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Nowhere it can be said more clearly. The Gospel of John 1, from 6 to 10. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. When a man of God comes on the scene and has a divine message to proclaim, then people should listen, for he who hears you hears me, and he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And if we are not sent, then we should not go at all. But if we are the sent ones of God, then we speak in Christ's state, exhorting the world, be ye reconciled to God. If we are the sent ones of God, then we are stewards of the manifold mysteries of God. Amen. And I believe with all my heart that God has not changed. The same inspiration of the Holy Spirit that came upon prophets and apostles is the same inspiration of the Holy Spirit today. There's only one divine source from which was drawn and is still drawn today. We read on in John 1, verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. With whom are we dealing here? With the great I Am, with the Lord of Lords. And also here, accurateness is simply required. If somebody would say, Jesus created the world, then this is absolutely wrong. But if anyone would say, Yahweh did it, then it's absolutely right. If somebody would say, Yahweh died for me, then it's absolutely wrong. But if anyone says, Jesus died for me, then it's absolutely right. Everything always in the right place, in the right connection. How often have we said it here? Where God is written, God must be written. Where Lord is written, Lord must be written. Where Son of Man is written, Son of Man must be written. Where Son of God is written, Son of God must be written. Everything, always, in the right place, in the right context. John bore witness of the light. Now the Lord bore witness of himself, namely, the very well-known word in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I have made thee the light of the Gentiles, to the covenant of the people. In you I have made a covenant with the people, a new covenant. This is the new blood, the blood of the new covenant. Matthew 26:26. And here we see that in the beginning, the cause of God was put into the center. Now, what about Paul, to whom the Lord said, "You shall open the eyes of the world. I have appointed thee a light unto the nations." This Paul did not have his message. He had the message of God. He wasn't preaching himself. He was preaching Jesus Christ. And this was the kind of illumination. Namely, from the preaching comes revelation and illumination about Jesus Christ and about all connections. If anyone preaches himself, where does illumination or revelation come from above? Paul could say, "I have had no knowledge among you but of Jesus Christ crucified." And he is still the light today. Whoever turns to him is taken out of darkness and is transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love. When it is written here, "He came to his own, and his own received him not," then it was only because they did not recognize who he is. We must recognize him, and then we are taken out of darkness into the light. Only in this way can God continue with us. If we have experienced a conversion to the Lord, not a conversion to a message or a messenger, a conversion to Jesus Christ, and have entered into his fellowship, then it must be confirmed, "He that follows me shall not remain in darkness." Whoever has followed only a Paul, he has remained in darkness. He who only followed a Peter, they all remained in darkness. But whoever follows him and turns to him, he is taken out of the realm of darkness and is placed into his light. And that is what it is about in these days. Somebody comes up with a very special interpretation of the word and the divine message, and already the people run. When they say, "Now clap your hands," then they clap their hands. When they say, "Jump," they jump. According to the scripture, "We whistled to you and you danced," or didn't dance, whatever. But where there is truthfulness of God, there is truthful proclamation. And where is truthful proclamation, there is truthfulness of God. And there the people are not bound to a man, but they are loosed from men and are bound to the Lord. "Draw me and I will run after thee." This is what we need in these days. A liberating message of God that not only loosens us from these gross, eye-catching, perverse things, but also from the little foxes that spoil the vineyard, who come in through the back door like that, go into the houses here and there, and have this and that to tell. "He that is born of God cometh into the house of God to hear there the word of God." It is written, "When they told me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord,' I was glad. For one day in thy courts is better than 1,000 others." Not when I was told, "Come for coffee klatsch," but when I was told, "Come, let us go to the house of the Lord," then I was glad. The house of God is still the foundation of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. You can all read it up. even if some things need to be straightened out. And this is not only true for my life, it is true for all of us. And those who think they have already experienced perfection, I ask them why they have not yet been raptured. We are all hurrying towards the goal. And like Paul, we humbly say, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but because I was apprehended of Christ. For I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. After all, I will live on that day to see who is there and who is not there. One thing we can all be told, the biblical order is binding for all who claim to believe biblically. And if someone does not consider this necessary and even spreads and believes what is contrary to the word and drags others along with him, he will one day be called to account. Let us come back to this word. Some things move me incredibly. I have seldom, or for a long time, experienced things as they have been in the recent past. It pierces me through marrow and bone, through spirit and soul, when I see this revealed plan of salvation of our God spread out before us in all its details. Then I only call out, "My God, how great thou art!" Then we can say, "Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto us, but our Father who is in heaven. O hallowed be his name, for the things which he has done in our days." We have not just heard a message or a messenger. We have heard God speak to us through the living, revealed Word of God. And for this reason, we come together again and again to hear the Word of the Lord anew, to deepen ourselves in it, to recognize the details even more clearly. The thought came to me this morning, if I were suddenly called home, how many of us would at least have a grip on the counsel of God to such an extent that we could present it to others and bring it to the ends of the earth? Paul wrote then to Titus or Timothy, whoever it was, "That which is entrusted to thee, teach, that others also may be able to instruct further." It is necessary that we not only sit, but that we take the whole course of God seriously and that we deepen ourselves in it. I thank you, Brother Ruth, for the amen. We are not just sitting here. We are here with all our heart and with all our soul because we know that God has spoken to us. But at that time, the Lord asked his disciples, "Do you understand all this?" They said, "Yes, Lord, we have understood." It was still at the beginning of events. I'm not saying I understand it all. But as far as God has given us the insight, we may understand it. And I believe that my brothers, Brother Ruth, and whoever they all are here, even though sometimes they look down on themselves a little bit with disdain, and maybe think, "Well, if I could do it like that, it would be all right." But because not, forget that. Forget that. God has revealed it to us all through the Holy Spirit. And I believe with all my heart that it could be set forth. And even if there were people who could not expound it because they do not have the words, yet in their hearts they carry it as a divine revelation, and no man can take it away from them. Do we understand that? And I think that is true for every sister, for every brother. There's no difference. They shall all be taught of God. And there's no need for one brother to teach another. But God teaches us all through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. Paul, I'm making you a light, one who shall open the eyes of others. A glorious word. Where the gospel is preached, there the light shines forth. There the captives are set free. There unbelievers are made believers. The lost are saved. And there people are placed into the presence of God. I don't know if it was Brother Branham who said, he who wants sinners to be saved must preach in such a way that the listeners, while they are sitting, that it's getting as hot to them as if they had already landed in the fires of hell. And only then will they cry out for help, for salvation. Maybe we haven't reached that point yet, but certainly it can still come. I have read when Brother Branham, or where Brother Branham talks about, that in the church, or through the church, very special things will happen. I think it's on page 206. It says, I am not going to speak it in His name. I am going to speak it in the revelation of my faith. I believe what happened in Sabino Canyon the other day. I believe that the hour is approaching when missing limbs will be restored by the glorious power of the Creator. I believe if He can make a squirrel appear that was not existing before, here is a man or a woman who's just got a part missing, and that's a complete animal in itself. He is God. I love Him. That will happen. That has to happen. That's what this man of God saw in a vision. And he said, everything that God showed me in a vision is thus saith the Lord. We believe it. Only one thing we don't do. We neither set a time nor a way how it shall happen, or tell the Lord how to do it. We go on with the Lord to become more intimately connected with Him and with each other. Brothers and sisters, the time is here. The time has come when the judgment of God starts in the house of God, and where the biblical guidelines must be applied to all who want to stand their ground before God. I seldom use words, at least I hope, that are a bit clumsy. But the Church of the Living God is not a flock of wethers, where everyone runs after his own fashion and perhaps kicks out a little right and left. What did Brother Branham see? He saw the bride in lockstep, and then he saw that a part of the bride came out of lockstep, and he cried out, "Stay in line!" The bride must no longer be a flock that goes and does as it pleases. She must submit and entrust herself to the Great Shepherd. Have we understood this too? For then there will be one Lord and one Shepherd. I mean, one flock and one Shepherd. No longer many. All will be gathered together in the divine unity. And we may then walk forward with the Lord. If you read in the prophet Daniel, the word we all know, chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, here it is written as follows. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I want to point out to you today that the 12th chapter does not end here. It continues, namely in the next verse. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. Did we all hear that? And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Do we see? Everything at the right time, in the right context. It says here that this one lifts up his hand to heaven and swears by him who lives forever. And what was the question? What was the question? What was it about? Pardon? How long? It was a question of time. How long? How long from the moment when the angel of the covenant raises his hand and swears by him who lives forever? How many read Revelation 10? And then they really fantasize into all directions under heaven, sometimes even upwards and then down again, without searching and finding the parallel scriptures to give a biblical answer. A biblical question must have a biblical answer or not. Is it left to interpretation? Then I want nothing to do with it. We do not live in the days of interpretation. We live in the days of fulfillment. What have we read in the prophet Isaiah? Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So that we know that the living God, the God of Daniel, is still alive today. And although he is in heaven, he can reveal all things on earth by his word and by his spirit. After all, this is the time when all this happens. Interpretations are made here and there, in small and larger circles. I have said it here before. Over 90% of all those who refer to William Branham would stop preaching if I entered the room with a Bible and the books of Brother Branham. And I humbly tell you why. Because they do not take the word preached back to the scriptures, but really go into all directions under heaven. Our understanding of the sending of a divine prophet or a prophet chosen by God is that we are brought back to the word. A word prophet is bound in spirit to the word. If he went beyond the word, he would not be a prophet. If he would interpret, also not. A prophet is a mouthpiece of God. A prophet is a man of God who reveals the will of God on earth. God makes him a light through the proclamation. And here we don't need a fantasy to hear or to dare. All we need is a holy respect for all of the holy scriptures of the Old and of the New Testament and the divine order that still applies to the church today. Those who think that the Lord has only promised to send a prophet and that is all to it, he should be told that God has set into the church apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists. Let him be told that the divine order will continue as long as the church is on earth. Can we allow ourselves to deny even one scripture of the Bible just because it has perhaps not yet been made known or we didn't see it in this way? No, we believe with all our heart every word of God as it is written. But let me say this by way of explanation. If there are today apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists, then they will include in their proclamation what God has brought through a major prophet in connection with his plan of salvation. This they will include into their proclamation and will thus proclaim the whole counsel of God. When an evangelist today allows himself to be celebrated and bypasses what God has spoken, or a teacher in some seminary teaches what such and such has said, this actually reminds me of my visit to North India, to the largest Bible school in the country. I don't know if 10,000 books are enough. There they all piled their knowledge on top of each other. And when I got in there, fortunately they led me first through the library and then into the lecture hall. That was the right thing for me. That library, that was the inspiration. That's all I needed. And when it then came down to it, I just had to cry out, even if you have read every book from A to Z, you still don't know what God is doing today. They all looked at me. But I can also get quite loud sometimes, at least when I know exactly what I'm saying. And if I don't know exactly, then I don't say it, Brother Knigge. That's how it is. I know in whom I believe. I know who I trust. I know who called me. I know that today it is not about anything, but about the church, about the bride of the Lamb. And we believe with all our heart that one scripture must be connected to the other. And in that alone is the answer. In Daniel 12, we read it. The question was, how long until the end of these wondrous things? And then he heard the voice, a time, two times, and half a time. How wonderfully that very statement fits into Revelation 10. There is no statement that could be more fitting, that could complete the thing more than exactly this one. I read Revelation 10, verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there will be no more delay. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. What is the only difference here? The only difference is this. In the prophet Daniel, the angel lifts up both hands to heaven. Here only the right, because in the other was the open book, for it is after the opening of the seven seals. Hallelujah! Praise be to the living God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he who has eyes to see, let him see. And here it is written, in the most wonderful way, not in the days when the seventh angel preaches, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. I still hear it. I still hear it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to the living God. You can look back into church history, read every single church age message. An age may have had 200-300 years, but the ministry of a man of God in that age was only, for my sake, 30 or 40 years. You get what it's about? It was an age, and the messenger was sent for the whole age. Regardless how long his ministry lasted, the message he brought was valid as long as the age was. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and to all who believe and trust and see it, to them be peace on earth, for these are the people in whom God is well pleased. There someone speaks so lightly, and peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Ever since Christ, the firstborn, was baptized there in the Jordan, and the heavens were opened, and the Spirit came down, and the voice sounded, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Ever since that well-pleasing Son of God gave his blood and life on Calvary, he has brought into existence sons and daughters well-pleasing to God by the new birth. There must be people on earth who do not walk in their own ways, but in the ways of God. There must be people on earth who recognize what God is doing in our days. See how easy it is when you don't speculate, when you sit down relaxed, or when you walk up and down. In the old days, you know, in the Old Testament, there they played some instrument, and then things became beautiful, the atmosphere became good. I don't need an instrument, probably because I'm totally unmusical. All I need is a heavenly harmony in my heart, and a connection to God through the Holy Spirit, and a connection from God to the Word, and from the Word to me, and then to express it in the preaching, what God has to say to His people. Everything interlocks. Everything fits together. From the bottom of my heart, I confess that I would be today where all the other preachers are, if God had not given me the grace to accept the ministry of His servant and prophet, to recognize it biblically, and not only that, but to ground it biblically for others. I noticed when we made a little list of the publication of the booklets, we found out that I think of the first booklet of these four, we must have had in English an edition between 50 and 60,000. I don't know exactly. When I think of other booklets, like Only Believe in English or The Impact of Revelation, the whole world has been spread with it. And over 90% of all who know what God has done today have got their foundation in the Scriptures by this simple exposition. And this has to be. It has to be biblically based. If that is not done, then the people have no foundation to build on. God has used us to proclaim to the world what has taken place. In the end, we believe that He is the Almighty who will triumph over all confusion, and that He, in the end, will be revealed as the Exalted One among His people, confirming His word and glorifying His name. And then will come to pass, no one will be put to shame who trusted the Lord. God cannot do it, because He has said it. No one will be disappointed or put to shame who trusts in the Lord. We have not trusted in ourselves, but we have put our trust in the Almighty God, and nothing has yet fallen out of His hands. He is on the throne. The moment will come, and then happens what we are waiting for. And as I said earlier, we don't make plans about it, because God has already made the plan. Why should I make a plan when God has already made it? I have only one desire: to become a part of that plan. I want to see where I have been placed in that plan. This I want to know. And let God use me right at that place. Let us sum it up. God, from the very beginning, He has sent His servants and prophets at all times. He has spoken through them and revealed His will. Whoever heard these servants of God heard Him. Whoever received them received Him. But let us keep in mind precisely that point where perhaps something in you resists, and you would have to say, "This I can't quite accept." Precisely that point is your weak spot, and precisely that point you have to overcome, and right there you have to pray through and say, "Lord, give me grace, because here I have my own interests." It's those points where we have our own interests or opinions or teachings or findings. Findings may have a few centuries, but that doesn't make them precious unless they agree with the Word. And there we have heard enough and understood well. Among the people of Israel, the scholars of the Scripture disregarded the Word and gave their interpretations to the people. You have heard it, whoever was with us at that time at the Wailing Wall, Brother Rus and some of the brothers, as we entered the building next to the Wailing Wall. And one was the interpretation, and the other was the interpretation of the interpretations, and so forth. I wrote it all down. I shook my head and thought by myself, here Rabbi so-and-so said what is written on the left side, and the other said what is written on top, and the third what is written on the right, and the fourth what is written on the bottom. And in the middle there was only a very small verse, a verse from the Torah. Everything else was the wisdom of the scholars, and this one knew better than the other. I could have taken the whole book right away with me and say, my friends, you can forget all of it, because this was not written by prophets in the name of the Lord. This was written by men whose pen has become the pen of lies, as the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah wrote. God did not commission the scribes. He sent prophets, and prophets only wrote what was given them by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And how beautiful! They did not explain. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? Did a prophet explain the Godhead? Did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, did they explain God? Did they say, well, this is our theology now, and so it must be divided up? God has revealed himself in such a variety. Do you want to describe him now, here in the burning bush? This is one thing, in the pillar of fire the other, as the angel of the covenant the third, as the rock and so on the fourth. Yes, what is he then? How will you describe him? Oh, here I think on the wonderful words of a Solomon. All the heavens cannot contain thee, O God. And who is the wretched man? Do you know what they contained? They have formed their own gods, but they have not been seized by God. No, we are so grateful to the Lord, and may no one think that we are exalting ourselves, but may no one expect from us that we suppress our joy and gratitude. The lot has fallen so wonderfully to us. We have been given an inheritance most unbelievably great. And whoever has not seen and recognized this, may God open his eyes. Who is called out and prepared in this last generation? All them who swim with the stream, who do not know what it is all about? Or will it be the small flock that listens to what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Will it be those whom God addresses and who let themselves be addressed? Will it be those who no longer mix anything together, but who build the pure revealed word, word upon word, one upon the other, not word and then explanation and then word and then interpretation? No, the time of interpretations is over. This is the time of the revelation of the Word and the will of God. And this time is followed by the manifestation of the power of God, of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ our Lord. Who can say amen to that? To that we can all say yes and amen. Who is ready to thank the Lord for such a clarity? No prophet, no apostle could have given it to us if God had not opened our eyes, opened our understanding for the Scriptures. Then I would not be standing here today. So, whoever wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. We can say together with the hymn writer, our knowledge and understanding is covered with darkness. Unless your Spirit fills us with your light, I will make thee a light. Thou shalt open their eyes, that they may be converted, and that they come out of darkness into the marvelous light. That's what we want to be in these days. People whom God can use to be a light to others. Didn't our Lord also say in the Sermon on the Mount, ye are the light of the world, that a city built on a mountain cannot remain invisible? Today, we are the salt of the earth. Today, we are the light. Arise and shine. Arise, you who sleep from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. The time is here. And God is revealing himself to his people. Blessed and praised be his name. I still have one wish. And that is this. That all, truly all, who receive the word, would also feel the revelation of the Spirit and joy as over a great booty. Oh, that we could rejoice and jubilate at the indescribable grace of our God. Not only when we are here, but also when we are somewhere else. That this joy over the great privilege could so inspire us. And then is fulfilled, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And he who wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord, namely that he is merciful. And he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. and on whom he is merciful. To him he makes known his ways and his doings. God only ever has one way in which he works. First, he sends his word. Through a prophet he reveals it. Then all the people are called to face the Lord, to come to the tabernacle of the congregation, to hear the word and tremble at them, and then thank him for speaking. First, a holy reverence must come over us, a respect for God and his word, and then that reverence leads to gratitude, and we begin to praise and glorify God because we have believed what he spoke to us. Today, he has spoken to us through his word. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and worship.
O, es ist Jesus. O, es ist Jesus. O, es ist Jesus. Nur allein. Ich hab berührt den Saum seines Kleides und sein Blut wusch mich rein.
As we bow our heads and remain in silent but grateful prayer before God, let me ask if there is anyone here who has not yet consciously consecrated his life to the Lord. Perhaps you had believing parents. Perhaps you sang along with the songs from childhood, heard the word, but never made a personal decision. Dear heart, today, if you have heard his voice, and you have heard it, for the Lord has spoken, and his word will not return void. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Look up to your Savior and say, Savior, here I am. My own way ends today with you on the cross, and then a new way begins for me, a new life, your way and your life. Lord, would you work it? While all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I would like to ask that you raise your hand briefly if we shall include you in prayer. Raise briefly your hand. Thank you. Is anyone else? Raise your hand briefly, and you will look back on this day and say, this was the most beautiful day God ever gave me when Jesus came into my dark earthly life. Let us sing this chorus, and then we will pray together.
Das war der schönste Tag, den Gott mir je.
This was the most beautiful day God ever gave me when Jesus came into my dark earthly life.
Das war der schönste Tag, den Gott mir jemals gab. Als Jesus in mein dunkles Erdendasein kam.
Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, we thank you that it still applies today what happened on Calvary. We have the same gospel today, the same salvation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Faithful Lord, we pray for all who had lifted up their hands, and for all who made their decision in their hearts to serve and follow you. Lord, have mercy on them, save them, deliver them, and reveal yourself to them. Grant assurance through your Spirit that they have become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the crucified, the risen, and the returning Lord. Great God, how grateful we are that you have blessed us with the privilege to live in these days, Lord, hearing your word, witnessing the revelations of the mysteries. My God, we are a needy people, but a privileged people, a people blessed by the Lord. Faithful God, may your word be in our hearts as a living revelation, and may your divine life be manifested through us. For in thee was life, and the life was the light of men. When you said to a pole, I make you a light, my God, then it was the divine life in him through the preaching that became the light. Oh my God, how great and how glorious thou art. Upon thee rested the Spirit of the Lord God, and you said that thou art come to proclaim liberty to the captives and the acceptable year of the Lord. Lord, wherever your gospel is preached, there the people shall experience that they are set free, being loosed, being saved. Lord, let the hour dawn, let it come, that all that happened in the Gospels would happen wherever the gospel is preached. Let us see the full restoration by grace. Praised and glorified be your name. Bless your blessed people. Hallelujah. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us your peace, your salvation, and your blessing. Blessed and praised be thou, Lord God Almighty, who you were and who you are and who you are to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To your wonderful name, for everything, also for this service, for the word observation, for everything, we thank you with all our hearts. May the anointing of your Spirit rest upon us. Keep us from all distraction, from all useless talk. Keep our hearts, our ears, our eyes, our mouths, and be with us all by grace, in Jesus' name. Amen.